Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, your anointing may be in this place, Lord, as your word is spoken forth, Lord. Just give us a heart, Lord, open to you, Lord, ear to ear, eyes to see, Lord, what you are saying to us. Lord, we may be able to receive it, appropriate it, Lord, and put it to work for us, Lord, and make a difference in our life. We just praise you, thank you for that in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, we have been looking at the last days, the last, the prophecies and so on, in the way they apply to us. You know, it's no use to talk about theory. What you have to do is what you do with the Word. Okay? The Word is there so that we can do Bible study. The Word is there so that we can put it to work in our life. Okay? So, even when it talks about end time and prophecy, there is a part that applies to us and we have to understand it and abuse it. Now, I want to step back a minute and, see the part that we have that was really established from the very beginning. Okay, if you want, the title for today is Our Choices Make Our Future. What we choose makes the difference in what we are going to experience and what you're going to see, no matter what's going on in the world. See, we are not of the world, or we should not be of the world. Okay? The implication for that is that the way the world is going to go through the things are going to happen is not should it be the same way in which believers go through. Because there are two categories of people according to God. It is differentiated. People today don't like about making differences, but God does. Okay. The children of God and the children of disobedience. Mm-hmm. You are either one or the other. And the implication of that is the way you're going to deal with the things that are happening around us has to be different. What you're going to experience is different because you have different information, understanding, and you make different choices. See, because that's all, everything that to do about Christianity is about choices. What we choose to do. What we choose, what thing. And there was a question that came last Thursday that I want to maybe expand a bit more on that. Okay, so I want to start here from Matthew 7:7. Okay. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Ask, receive. How many of those who receive?
Everyone.
Those who ask, lots of times people ask and don't get anything. So it's more than just asking. That's the thing that I want to stress. And I want to emphasize so that we have the understanding. Because, verses are summaries of ideas. But the fact that they don't necessarily describe and explain everything about that. We have to complete the idea or the concept with the other verses in the Bible. And when we put them all together, see, it's not one verse that gives us the truth. It's the Bible that gives us the truth. Because it's the whole counsel of God. You cannot take a piece of the Bible, and that is all done very often, emphasize it out of proportion, make it from a truth, the truth, and you go completely off the diet. Okay? So we have to understand that, and we have to understand that we have to be open to, if you want, adjust our thinking so that we, you know, perceive things the way they are, as the whole counsel of God discussed. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often because it involves, number one, to know the whole Bible, which is big and long, okay, but at least to know all the basic concepts in the Bible. Are you following me, what I'm saying? Amen. This is very important because often it's missed, you know, every current, every new way, you know, emphasizes one truth. And maybe at the beginning it's even right, but after a while the truth becomes the whole thing and just becomes so distorted that actually it's no truth at all anymore. We saw that with many things, Crazy Message or any of the other, you know, things that happened before, because, you know, that becomes the whole thing that differentiates. And instead, you know, it is the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God has to be considered at the same level and integrated, because the Bible is fully coherent in itself. Right? So let me go back here. Ask it to be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Not that it will be born you. For everyone who asks, receive, and it who seeks, find, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So, and the word here, everyone who asks receives. And I bring up that word again because it's a really important one, and I'm going to expand on that today. The word there is lambano. You already have heard it so many times from me that probably you know just as much as what is English. Okay? I mean, that is Greek. So the idea is that this concept of lambano means really to take. Okay. So, and when you take something, if I take a pencil, I have to decide to take the pencil and then I have to act on it and grasp the pencil. Otherwise, you know, I cannot just think about taking the pencil, doing nothing. I won't have anything in my hand. This is true in the physical, but it's true in the spiritual dimension as well. There is always an action involved in lambano, in taking things by faith, because lambano is connected by faith, but it's not necessarily a word related to faith, it's a word related to taking. Okay? It's not just a religious word, it's just a religious word implying an action with taking something with your hand or appropriating something, you know, that way. Now, if you see all the way it is used in the Bible, you can see, you know, I'm going to see some, you know, some implication for us. Okay. Continuing there. It says, oh, what a man, verse 9, Matthew 7, 9. Oh, what a man is there among you who his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone. And he asks for a fish, they will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay. So the idea is, you know, if our Father who is in heaven is nicer than all the fathers that we can get here, right? And sometimes fathers are nice, sometimes they don't be that nice, depending on where they're coming from, where they are doing, whatever. Okay? But, you know, we can expect something better than any best father that you can think of, you know, is going to be able to do them. Okay. And that applies to everyone that can call God Father. That means any children of God. That does not apply, really, to those that are not children of God and are children of disobedience. because they don't have the right to call themselves children of God. Now, okay, that should help to establish some expectations for us in many different ways. Okay? But this is important to understand because there are implications for what I'm saying here, an implication for what the world says. Okay? So, when we start just simply believing the last verse I read, you know, what much more he will do for us, then we have to hear our expectation for that. The God is one desire, wants to bless us, wants to bless his children, has good plans for them, wants to direct our life, wants to make us successful in everything we do, but we have to keep our relationship with him to be able to benefit from his goodness. Now, he goes beyond that. Because even when we are sinners, he tries to reach out to us. Okay. And we always were there. So, you know, he is always ready to receive us. But he expects something from us to start with. And that something is the wanting or the desire to be connected with him. The seeking of the truth. This is what is referring in some way in the verses I was reading. You know, seek and you shall find. I can say, you know, from my own personal experience, that is exactly what is true, because I was seeking understanding God. As an atheist, you know, I just didn't believe anything. But I was seeking for the truth. That was enough for it to come through in a supernatural way. If he did it for me, he can do it for anyone. If they are as much wanting to find the truth as I was wanting that time. But hopefully I still want. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So we have to set ourselves up. Put us in the position to receive. It's not just something that we try to manipulate God to give us things. Because he can see through our motivation. Okay? We can fool, you can fool your pastor, you can fool yourself, you can fool, you know, people in your family, but you cannot fool God. He can see through you and see your heart, which is really the area that also we're going to talk about today. Now, receiving comes evidently from seeing and hearing from the heart. And we're going to see scriptures, you know, showing that. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, says, you know, and you can understand how Jesus ministered if you grasp onto that. It says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, he was talking to the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the ones who were in the son of disobedience, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and we will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Okay. Now, this seems, you know, people don't like that, the passage, that verse, you know, because but what you mean, you know, you're so mean and you take it away. But there is, you see, if you read only that verse, you only think part of the story. That verse indicates something else that is going on in that person. And because of what is going on in that verse applies 100%. It is fair, it is just. See, God is much more subtle and just and perfect in his decision that we can never imagine. And sometimes we take a verse and we make that verse the whole thing and we miss the point. Okay, let me continue because it's even worse. Therefore, I speak to them in parable. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they will not hear, nor they do understand. Okay? So, said, why don't you have that? Okay. Well, it says it very clearly, the following verse, 13, 14, Matthew 13:14 says, and in them the prophet Isaiah was fulfilled, which said, hearing will not hear, you will hear and shall not understand. And with them, you know, seeing you shall see and not perceive. So those are the conditions that a person is when he's not able to receive from God. Okay. For the heart of these people have grown dumb. Their ears have are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I would heal them. And with heal them is to actually, you know, save them or whatever. So the idea is this. Okay. If they do not perceive, they do not receive because they already, the heart, their heart blocks the communication. Because their heart is not aligned with God. And because the heart is not aligned with God, that means, you know, we discussed that so many times, you know, their judgment are not God's judgment. The way they see things is not the way God sees things. So automatically, they cannot the information they could bring them deliverance, freedom, healing, and everything else. They are close to the truth, because they chose something else. And until there is a change in them, one way or another, in which their heart becomes softer to reprove by the realization that their judgments are wrong. That means that their judgments are sinful. They are not righteous. They are not going to be able to hear and receive anything. Or they're going to be able to hear and receive only the things that they let go through the gatekeeper, which is the heart, which has all the judgment there, in which filter everything that hears and sees, and make sure that everything line up with what their judgment position is, rather than God's position. Are you following me? See, that makes an enormous difference. See, God is just. God deals with us according to our heart. And, you know, the thing is, our heart is too abstract. Okay? And we're going to see the word judgment, you know, that I started introducing so much into the heart. Actually, it was used in the Old Testament, and it's indicating exactly that. Not connecting it completely to the heart, but if you start putting all the things together, the harmony of the Bible starts appearing, you start each one back up each other. Now, are you following what I'm saying? So the bottom line, there must be to be able to hear, to be able to receive, to be able to see, there has to be a desire in us to hear and see more than our opinion that we already have. Because that opinion or that judgment or that idea that we have is going to cut it off from us because we preserve our position. See, that's why the heart is the gatekeeper of the word, everything. Or what we see, what we hear, what we get from God, and everything else. This is why God looks at the heart, not at the exterior or the appearances. So this is why it's so important that we receive that spirit of desire inside ourselves. We have a desire to know the truth more than to give up. Are you following me?
Yeah.
We need to desire to know the truth more than to be right. And we have to be ready to give up all our right self-righteousness, all our things that we believe about ourselves, if the Lord reveals something different to us. And when we are in that position, if we have that attitude, heart and attitude go together. Huh? Remember that connection. You know, if we keep that attitude, then something is going to happen. We are going to be in motion. We are going to continually be growing in the spirit, spiritually, because we get revelation and understanding. Okay. This is what Paul was praying for the Ephesians. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, because they were really keen and open. Okay. Making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so you can see, you know, the Holy Spirit can shed the light for you. That you may know what the hope of this calling, and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. See, that's spirit of wisdom and revelation that we have is really that openness to the truth and that desire. It is something new, I'm saying. That's, you can recognize. See, it's not something fuzzy or something. It's something that is new or not is not new. If you are stuck on your position, you're not going to need too much revelation there. But if you are open, you see, and wanting, you know, getting in what the Lord was going to give you, he talks to you all the time. And he's continuous, he's seek, his input, his direction, his ideas, his thought, his will all the time, and he is there feeding you like a baby, like, you know, the birds, you know, open, it says in Psalm, they have opened your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, it's like the birds in the nest, even a baby, and mother to the worm inside.
Yes.
That's the image that was given. This is the way God wants to do. He is the mommy, you know, bird feeding us the worms that we need. And some things are really worms. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Praise the Lord. So you see, this is, there has to be, you know, that openness so that our eyes can look. If you don't look, you don't see. So that's why if you seek, that's what we're talking about. If you seek, you know, you really have to be seeking, but with that attitude of being open to get anything, even the things that you say, oh, ouch. Because otherwise, you're not good to eat. So, but it doesn't stop there. You see, the enemy is not, you know, knows his tricks. And then he's always trying to get us the fact that wasting our time and doing things that we shouldn't do. Even good things, but we shouldn't be doing them because it was the time. Okay. So, you know, so, and he wants to, if we get us caught up, what happens is we even forget because we are focused on something else. And we are not, you know, we are not moving in the direction of God. We are just zigzagging. You know, when you know where you're going and you just go straight, it takes much less if you go around and you just everything you go around like, you know, kids going, you know, something for the parents, you know, they just run after butterflies or whatever. Right? So, we need to keep the revelation. Okay, once we have, and even Deuteronomy chapter 29. You know, I keep saying, you know, in the Old Testament, there is the same truth of the New Testament. It's only more covered in some places. And only, you know, there is not a full understanding that Jesus brought to us. But the principles are exactly the same. Okay. Here in Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which have been revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all things the world, all the world of the Lord. So the idea is, you know, the thing that we don't know, we can't do much about it. But when we got some revelation, we better make sure not only that we listen, because then it doesn't get to us, we don't get revelation. We have to listen, but also we have to keep what we got. We shouldn't forget it. We shouldn't, you know, get up and do other things. Not only that, but we should pass it on to our children. Because it's going to be there, because we should be able to communicate those truths so that they can benefit from our discovery. Okay. So, you know, belongs to us and to our children forever. When our children don't get it, it's our fault. Because we have not been communicating well enough in order to develop them or to keep those truths there. Okay. Now, situations and so on, that's fine. I'm not going to get into that for now. Okay. So we can see, you know, that scripture applied to the history of the children of Israel. They were blessed by God when they were following God and bring God. The truth, they revealed, they applied the law, and they were successful and overcame lots of difficult things. Then they got comfortable and they got enjoying the promise, the victory and the thing, and forgot God and was backslidden. And they lost the truth that they got. And they get themselves in trouble. And they went around up and down, you know, successful, victorious, and then losing, and being destroyed, and being beaten up, and being damaged. That sounds like a lot of new Christians. Okay. Now, to them, taking it took generations to do that. Times were different now. Time is squeezed, so you know the way of this, the progress and progress of new believers is much shorter. You know, thing because there are too many things, we are exposed to so many things. Things are faster now. Okay. So it doesn't take generations to lose it. It takes weeks. Okay, but the idea is this. Okay. That we should learn from observing what took place in the past. That we shouldn't fall into the same mistakes. And so many times the Bible, you know, make us aware of that and, you know, try to warn us about it. Okay. So, if we look at the Old Testament and the law and why, you know, with Moses and so on, you know, establish some rules of blessing and cursing, of curses. I want to read that because this is valid just today as it was then. For Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. And this command, which I command you today, is not mysterious for you, nor it is far off. So you see, it's very clear. It's not a mystery, just you can learn this, go on this basis, and you have everything you need. That's what it's saying. Okay. See, I have said before today, life and good, bad and evil. that I command you today to love the Lord. And this is loving the Lord. You know, I want to emphasize, because people, you know, think loving the Lord is having a worship meeting. Okay? It's much more than having a worship. Well, loving the Lord. I like to change even the word, because the love is so confusing for lots of people, because it has different meaning. Okay? Instead of using the word love, use value. Value the Lord. And, you know, that implies, you know, values. You can have different values. Some values are higher than others. You know, correspond, you know, you love something more than some other things. You value something more than the other. You know, God wants to be valued more than anything else. That's what means to be jealous. God is a jealous God. He wants you to value Him more than anything else. Because if you value Him more than anything else, then everything falls into place. Then you start to have all the other values arranged properly. There was some. Okay. So, to love the Lord, your God, walk in His way, that means according to His principle, the things He says to do, to keep His commandment, His statutes, and His judgments. See, that word is coming up, and actually is indicating what is inside you, because if you value God less than other things, your judgment does not line up with God's judgment. See, your judgment is not a righteous judgment, but this is a righteous judgment that needs to be changed. Now, judgment, that you may live and multiply. You see, there are consequences to act in a certain way. Live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess. So that is pretty clearly established. You have the values in the right way, then you're going to walk the way God wants you to walk. You're going to obey His commandment. You are going to have the same judgment in your heart that God has, and that it means that you're going to be able to, you're not going to scream out when God is trying to tell you something. You're going to listen, because it gets through your heart. From the Spirit, through your heart. You still with me? Okay. But, says, if your heart turns away, that means, you see, you make a judgment different from God, and you block Him out from following what they tell you to do. So that you do not hear, see, at the moment, you turn your heart turn away. That means you're going to start screaming what you are hearing. So you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods. Worship other gods means, you know, really that you value other things more. And serve them. I pronounce you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land in which you cross over to the Jordan to go and possess. So that is clear. Okay? And it's not. I mean, you see, it's not that God. You bring it on yourself. See, God doesn't have to do anything. As soon as you stop being able to have the same judgment that God has, you're going to make the wrong decision. Because you make the wrong decision, you're going to have the consequences of your decision. That means you're going to get in trouble one way or another. God doesn't have to do anything. You put yourself in any distance from the devil to be able to take advantage of. You put yourself in his hands. God doesn't have to do anything. He established the law. It is a fair, good law, you know, perfect law. And, you know, now that I've been teaching on heart, attitude, and all this thing, judgment, you can see how even there was using the same terminology that I reached in a completely different way. And they give you enormous power to connect and understand what the word is saying. Following verse. See, this is not just a suggestion. This is a general principle or general law that applies everywhere, in heaven and on earth. Says there, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life. See, he couldn't say, therefore, choose life if we cannot work. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So you see, God gives us choices. This is why I say Christianity is all about choices. It's choosing to hear God, choosing to have the same value that He has, choosing to have our priorities the same way as God's priorities, choosing to believe God instead of believing everybody else. Because He's trustworthy, He's reliable, and the other ones aren't. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, that's important to understand. And when you do that, you know that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling. You see, His voice is speaking to you. He's not just a book there. You've got to go with Him. Okay? You may cling to Him, and He is your life. For He is your life and the length of your days. It will make well in the land of the Lord, the land that the Lord has swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. So this is the way, you know, blessing and cursing, you know, comes from our decision. And, you know, who the Lord bless, not for the curse. I don't care.
Yes,
he wouldn't say that. You understand the way God works. Now, we are God's children, not the children of disobedience. If we are set up, if we are positioned, our attitude and so on, that way, we may not be perfect, we may not know everything. God knows that very well. Okay. Our ignorance, okay, sometimes gets us into trouble, but it's not. You know, God will help us if we seek Him and show us. But you have to be open, not set on your way. Okay. It's up to us to choose the right thing. You know, God declared this is a general principle, a general law that is valid in all heaven and on earth. And it works all the time. And when we start understanding that, we start and we line up ourselves with God thinking. We're going to get the result that He's talking about here. And I have read all the result of this. There are pages of blessing and pages of curses. Okay. But we don't need to go through that. We just need to understand the principle. And then we can look at the detail, but they're coming. We don't need to even know them. They're coming in. So, the result we get is our choice. Our choice determines the result we get. Okay. Those who love God, okay, do that. And that means those who have God as first priority, that's what it means. Those who have God as first priority, they are going to have something happening within themselves, very powerful, which is to get a clean heart, at least in the areas that start the process for them to grow spiritually. There, and that's been called being born again. And this is what it says here in John chapter 1, verse 12. We become children of God. But as many as received Him, and that's the word receive again, to them He gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. That means, you know, what he came for, that he was the Messiah, that, you know, he, you know, Jesus means the Savior, you know, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the man, of flesh, but of, not of the will of man, but of God. So you see, when one makes that decision, I mean, that just a little bit, see the power of that love that we were talking about before. We make that decision to put God first. Just that decision has the power to make you a new creation, according to, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay. You are opened, have opened the communication between you and God, because the heart starts to be open to allow the things that are coming from God to come to your ear. And I hope that we keep it open. Because, you know, the position is not static. Our walk is dynamic. We can change from one moment to another. One moment God can be first, and next moment is, I don't know what, your job, a fun, or whatever. Are you still with me? Okay. So, this, you're just at the decision. You see how powerful decisions of the heart are. That means, of the heart, that means you deal with that judgment and you take the value. See, you see, how do you know your value? Huh? That's a good question. See, well, it was Thursday, I think, somebody asked the question, maybe even a couple of people, you know, how do we determine our values or our priorities? That was the question. That is really an important topic that I really want to expand on, because it's not that easy. Okay? It's really complicated, and we don't see, you know, we can fool ourselves about our value. Religious people think, oh, you know, they made it like the Pharisees, and they were completely close to the truth. So the fact is, one is convinced that he's doing God's will doesn't mean that they are doing God's will. And we have to realize that, and we have to address that within ourselves and know how to do that. So many people talk about that. See, how do you do that? Well, not today. I'm going to take my time here, because if you understand some of these things, it becomes so much easier to walk with God. That's the only important thing. Not being religious. You know, it's walking with God, listening to God, getting God to direct you path day by day. Okay. Hearing from him, seeing his word. Now, so I want to go back to this, you know, but as many as receive him, the word receiving, I said, is lamban, which is to take with the hand, to catch, and always is the action involved, resulting in it, like they would know what I was doing. You know, if I say, you know, I think within myself, I take my this pencil, if unless I put my hand there, I take nothing. Now, when you talk about something physical like that, it's evident. When you talk about something spiritual, it's a bit more complicated, because these are things that you don't see. You are dealing with things that is in a different dimension, about, you know, the taking or the receiving is a spiritual thing taking place within ourselves, which we use a physical terminology to explain. Use lambano to take, but really it's not a physical taking. But it's a taking, the equivalent on a spiritual level. Okay? But the point is that is always involved. What is involved into that? Involves a decision that we must take about the judgment of our heart. We believe, for example, you know, says here, the recipient receive Jesus. That means, you know, we make a decision. Yes, I believe that Jesus is who said, and I want that, and I'm open to that. That's a, you know, it's a small decision. But it's a small decision. It has enormous implication in terms of us being changed. We are a new creation. We become really, you know, inside us, there is a new man that starts to be at a baby level that has to grow. Okay? And we have to feed him properly to make him grow. Because the organic, the physical, there is a physical, the parallel is there, always there. So the parallel between the physical and the spiritual, you know, people grow physically and takes time and take feeding and take exercise and take moving and take application and take making mistake and everything else. The same thing, the parallel goes in the spiritual dimension. You know, you are even ready, you know, I think, you know, people that try to bring people to the Lord and just leave them there. It's like you are in a baby in the physical and just leave them there. What's going to happen? That. The person giving birth must help a child, a baby, to grow to the place in which they become independent and grow. All right, are you following me? But you know, the implication of that is that decision. One first decision you made there produces this kind of infant. But that has to start applying this to all the different areas of walking this life. And that means, you know, that it's going to impact his preferences, his values, and his priorities. Everything is going to be scrambled up, and it's going to be creating new things there, because otherwise he's going to continue to do the same thing that he did before. Now, because he received some truth, the Holy Spirit is going to be in his case. When he does those things, he's going to then, yeah, that bad. He's going to do that. And so the Holy Spirit start working on them, but sometimes, you know, they need some removing some of the wax from the ear to be able to hear, and that is where discipleship comes in, the component. It is the critical component, not just to listen to somebody preaching. It's a question of helping the person to actually see some things that they think. Some judgment that they have, some priorities that they have, some preference that they have need to be changed. And not imposing on them, because you know, they can do just that much. They're not at the place in which, you see, the disciple is not at the place of the disciple. Cannot be expected that the disciples do the same thing as the disciple. The one that teaches them, because the one that teaches them should know more. So, patience, understanding, operating, and you know, realizing what the Lord of the Holy Spirit is doing there and helping them along this critical. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, but the bottom line is how you. To leave you with this question. How do you establish your values and your priorities? That is a million-dollar question. Okay? And there is a very short answer to this. Okay, we must go to the Word. We must carefully examine the world and our beliefs and our values. We must establish, you know, and change priorities, you know, as your understanding grows. you start, you know, making new commitment to spiritual growth, to change for yourself. Okay. You must, you know, look at this and work on it all the time, because it's not going to end until the time the Lord comes, or the time you go up. Okay. Now, this is the short answer. The long answer is discipleship. Discipleship is the long answer. Okay, is the way that is a process. And it takes time. And it takes work. And it takes change, decision, choices that are made. But as much as open as you are to hear, just as quickly you're going to grow and breakthroughs and see results. And with that, I think it's better close, because I haven't finished on my mind. I thought it was going to be much faster, but I cannot go too fast through these things, because unless one takes the time, one doesn't get it. So I'm going to, let's pray together. Let's pray together to, you know, just think about what the thing that I shared today. And, you know, the decision that may involve, if you accept what I said, in terms of, you know, being open to listen, being willing to change our ideas that we sometimes hold on like a rope. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
For your word.
For your word.
That gives us life.
That gives us life.
Strength.
Strength.
Healing.
Healing.
Truth.
Truth.
But we have to take it.
We have to take it.
As a whole.
As a whole.
Not just one piece at a time.
Not just one piece at a time.
Help us.
Help us.
To allow you.
To allow you.
To guide us.
To guide us.
Into the truth.
Into the truth.
That you promise.
That you promise.
When we dwell in the Word.
When we dwell in the Word.
And your Word dwell in us.
And your Word dwells in us.
We just thank you, Lord.
We just thank you, Lord.
For the understanding.
For the understanding.
That you've already given us.
That you've already given us.
This is no longer secret for us.
This is no longer secret.
We're going to use it.
And we're going to use it.
And keep it.
To keep it.
To produce fruit.
To produce fruit.
In our life.
In our life.
Guide us.
Guide us.
To grow.
To grow.
To listen.
To listen.
To see.
To see.
To receive.
To receive.
To take.
To take.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Amen.